This is Jack Nicklaus hitting out of a buried lie in the bunker. All right, another one.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode, a tap-in episode and a US Open preview episode. I've said episode three times for the Teed Up podcast. I'm joined by up-and-coming budding tour pro and teaching pro, Matty Howe. Matty, welcome back, mate. It's a pleasure to have you on. It's just you and me tonight.
Thank you, Q. Should be a bit of fun again. Looking forward to this delightful chat we're going to have.
Oh, mate, it's going to be absolutely delightful. And I'm sure the listeners out there are going to be extremely stoked with the tips we're giving, because we're both punters and we both love it. And I was on fire at the PGA Championship. Back JT, I sacked Scotty Scheffler. Yeah. So get your notepads ready. Maybe for me, not for you, because Rory McIlroy's just grabbed your $50 and shoved it straight up your bum, mate, because he's in form. He played really well at the PGA, and he's coming off the win at the Canadian.
Yeah, he's on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely flying. So, mate, we'll do a little bit of a tap-in episode. So we're going to have a chat about what's happened in the week in golf. Obviously, it's been a huge week on the world golf stage. And then we'll crack into the US Open. We'll give a bit of a preview for all your listeners out there. So, mate, the story that's dominated golf for the past few months has been played on the weekend. So at the Centurion Club in London, the first live event was staged. And it was a pretty decent spectacle, to be honest. You know, everyone who went there played well. It was really close. Big Phil went over there and batted off the media. Geez, they came for him, didn't they?
Same as DJ.
DJ. Here's DJ.
Cool, calm and collected, but he just looked like he didn't care. Like, he's just there to just have fun.
Why would he? He's gone over there, and for those who's been living under a rock and haven't been watching, the media have asked him, so what are you going to do the other 42 weeks of the year when there's no live events? And he just looked him dead in the eye and said, whatever I want. He's gone to play live golf because he wants to play less golf. And good on him, I say. Good on him. The money's there to be taken. So you can't knock a man for being like that. But, mate, Charles Schwartzel got up and won with 7-under. He won €4 million.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks for coming. And a few of the Aussies.
He won a bit more as well with that teams event format as well.
Yeah.
I think he won like five, didn't he? $5 million.
Yeah. So whatever he won, mate, it's ludicrous. But good on him. You got to be in it to win it. And the 48th place, Andy Ogletree, took home $165,000 to come dead last just for putting it on the tee.
Pocket change.
Plus 24. I could have done that.
Yeah, you probably could have.
Could have over three.
Yeah, you could have, I reckon.
Yeah. Mate, I'm wasting my time. I'm going to put in an application.
The course looked pretty tight. This be like the sands. It's nice and tight.
Yeah. No, it'd suit my game, mate. It'd suit my game. But it seems that dodgy. I reckon I could pay a few bucks off to dog up those scorecards for me. So
easy.
Yeah, it would be fine. But yeah, what an event. A few of the Aussie boys went well. Trav Smythe played, Blake Windred, Kevin Yuan played really well. He finished 33rd, Trav 35th, and Blake 38th. So Jed Morgan finished 32nd. So they were all there in the sort of mid-pack, the Aussie boys. And Wade Ormsby, I think, was the best performing Aussie. I think he finished top 20. Yeah. Top 20 finish. He's a very solid golfer, Wade, and very experienced out on tour. So be interesting to see who signs on for the next one. Obviously, Bryson already has. So it'll be super interesting to see which other players jump on board. There's a lot of rumors spreading around that there's going to be about another 5 to 10 PGA players looking to go play live golf for the next event. So very interesting. Very interesting, Matty.
You don't blame them. Like, no. It just seems like such a well-run event. Like, the players were treated like royalty, and even the caddies were paid by the tour to come over. And it just seems it's more about like the team and like instead of yourself for the week, which I kind of liked.
Yeah, the draft was cool. Like, all that sort of stuff was cool. It was a good spectacle. We'll just see if it lasts. It's a bit of a novelty now, but we'll see if it can stand the test of time and compete with the PGA Tour and the European Tour and whatnot. Yeah, pretty cool. But, mate, the big, big thing that happened on the weekend was the great man, Rory McIlroy, is back. Won the Canadian Open, just clutched down the stretch, hit that amazing shot on 17 to give himself a win, essentially, which put JT and Tony to the sword. He'd be the favourite now to win at the US Open this week. number one ball striker in the world. You know, he's hit the most greens over the last 20 rounds of golf played in the world.
Good stat.
It's a good stat. I've done my research for this
one. Well done, thank you.
You know, what I know about Brookline too, Matty, is that those approach shots in the greens is the most crucial because they are the second smallest greens on tour golf.
You're a statsman today.
I am. I'm a statsman. That's about the only man I am. It's going to be huge, but, mate, Rory's round at Canadian Open was absolutely incredible.
Oh.
You know, he's not a fan of yours, McIlroy. It got back to him. He's an avid listener of the podcast, and it got back to him that Matt Howe, PGA professional from Victoria down at the National, down at PK, has sacked him on the Teed Up Golf podcast. And that has been the venom in his veins that has driven him to just continue to build where he's going to take the next two majors for the year. And he's going to personally call you and tell you where to go.
I look forward to the phone call. I think it's a bit of personal interest. You know, it's like I've given him a bit of kick up the bum and said, you need to perform. And he's really done it. So I'm going to take full credit that he's going to win this week. So,
yeah. I hope if he forgets to thank you, like he remembered to thank the shark in his winner's speech when he said, it's my 21st PGA Tour win and it's one more than someone else, Greg Norman. So if he doesn't say this wins for someone else, it'll be Matt Howe after he wins the US Open on the weekend. But, mate, like how good is it? It's golf is so much better when McIlroy is up and firing. It's going to be huge.
His ball striking from tee to green is just so impressive. Like, he's been working hard on it, obviously, for a while now. He's been building to this point. I feel like, especially at PGA, you saw a glimpse of it. And then the last couple of events, like Canada, he should have won by lengths. Like, he was just unreal.
Yeah. If he can just clean up those tiny little errors and compounding errors he sometimes does, you know, he's going to go on a run because
we all do that, Q, though.
No, speak for yourself, mate. I never have any level to drop to. I'm already at that level. But anyway, Matty, the third major championship of the season is upon us, and they're ready to tee off later in the week. You know, 156 competitors are going to be playing at the National US Open Championship, and it's just an amazing venue. So the Country Club at Brookline, which is in Massachusetts.
Yep.
Anyone can spell that for me, that'd be awesome. Bloody hard word to spell, Massachusetts. But the Country Club, it's rich history there. It's the fourth, fifth time they've had the US Open there. The first one being held back in 1913, which is the most famous US Open that was held at Brookline at the Country Club, because a young amateur by the name of Francis Wimmett defeated British professionals Harry Vardon and Ted Ray in a playoff. And Maddie, you know what score they shot?
Just a lazy 12 over.
12 over par to win a major.
Like,
that's incredible. That just goes to show how much technology and whatnot has changed over the years. But the evolution of this golf course is insane. So for the historians out there, go and do some research on the Country Club. And it was founded back in 1983. It was initially built for equestrian and archery. And there was a three-hole golf course put in just for the members to go and play. And then over the years, there was more courses added and whatnot. So it's been a combination of the three nine-hole courses, and they've picked 18 holes essentially to make up the championship course that's going to be being played this weekend. There's heaps of contours and rolls, and it's going to prove really tough for all the players. It's going to be competitive.
Yeah, it's not the shortest course either. It's 7,200 yards, par 70. Like, you got some long par fours in there.
Absolutely. And one of the little par threes, I think it was the 11th, that just looks incredible, like really narrow opening there and into a small green. So it's going to be so good to watch. I'm really looking forward to watching this one. It's probably the most anticipated major this year, just for the way it sets up. All the big dogs are playing. There's a lot of rivalry going on with the guys who are going to play in the Saudi Tour, guys who are staying on the PGA Tour. There's a bit of angst. You know, there's a lot of stories going on in the golf world, and it's so exciting. So it's all set up to be just one of the best majors, one of the best US Opens of all time. Jonny Rahm's defending champ, won last year. His game's in decent order. There's no reason why he can't go well again. And for the Aussie historians, Matty, there's two past Australian winners of the US Open.
Yep. So
back in 1981, PGA Hall of Famer David Graham won the US Open, and back in 2006, our very own Jeff Ogilvie won the US Open in one of the most famous victories in Australian sport.
I remember watching that. That was
possible. You would have been in nappies.
Almost. No, I was about 7, 6.
Yeah, right.
5. I don't know. I think I was 5, yeah. Yeah, I remember watching it with Dad. That was probably one of the better US Opens.
Jeff's giving a heap back to Australian golf now, and he's always around, like, just doing stuff with juniors, and, you know, he's got his Ogilvie events that he's doing. He's a golf course designer here in Victoria. I'm guessing he's doing a few around the world as well. And Jeff played the Vic Open this year down at 13th Beach. I've watched him for a few holes, and I'm sure you've seen him around the traps, Matty. So, very rich history for Australia. Like, and who knows, Matty, we could be adding a third, because there are 7 Aussies playing at the US Open this weekend. We'll get into them later, but there's 3 key topics I want to go through before we get into the Aussies, Matty. So Scotty Scheffler, chances, you know, he's been there about since he missed the cut at the PGA, which, Q-tip that.
Yep.
See you later, big fella. So here's a bit of a stat for you. Speaking of stats, since World War II, the only golfers to win the Masters and US Open in the same year are one name players. So Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth. When I said one name, I can just sit there and go Hogan, Jack, Arnie, Tiger, Jordan. Will Scheffler join him? Is it going to be Scotty or Scheffler? You know, he's been good in the two events since the PGA. He had an excellent US Open last year. He finished tied 7th last year, and it was playing really tough.
Yeah.
So the only thing that really worries me with him is the missing off the tee.
Yeah.
If you don't hit a fairway at this course, you get punished, because you've got to hit into that short, those really small greens. So the short game is really important. His has been magic this year. It'd be super cool to see him go well. But what do you reckon on Scotty Scheffler's chances?
Oh, I was looking at on Instagram, like a couple of the Instagram stories that No Laying Up put up, and the rough looks like ridiculously thick from the first bit of rough to the second. It's like knee height. And I just feel like you saw it PJ, he wasn't hitting that great off the tee and he struggled a bit. So, and it's even tighter. And the greens are even smaller.
Yeah,
I feel like he'll make the cut. But I don't feel like he'd be challenging for the lead. But I don't know. I said Rory wouldn't go well at the PGA. So
yeah, no, we're just asking you those questions just to get me involved. no one's writing this down. And another question. This one's directed straight at you. Can Rory stay hot? Like, he's the favorite. Probably with all the bookies, he's just won. He's in his last 5 starts, including the 2 majors, he's finished 2nd, 5th, 8th, tied 18th and 1st. He's one of just 4 golfers to finish in the top 10 at 3 or more of the US Opens, of the last 5 US Opens. And he's the number 1 ball striker in the world over the last 20 rounds. And like we said, same with Scotty, if he's hitting those approaches and he's hitting fairways, I don't see anyone beating Rory McIlroy next week.
I'm loving these stats, Q.
Yeah, no, I've done a bit of research on this one. like if he can hit those fairways in reg and get onto those small greens, and I think pars are really going to win it this weekend. So that's my take. What do you reckon on Rory? You're a Rory basher, renowned. What are your thoughts on his chances this weekend?
I love Rory's. But I do reckon he does stay hot. Like, I reckon it sets up heavily for him. It's a long course. You don't have a good short game. It's a pretty good short game. I reckon his putter is his biggest kryptonite. He's just got to keep hot with his putting.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's always going to hit good from 10 to green. I just feel like he's just going to hold putts. And the greens look slopey, like similar to Canada and PJ Championship. So I feel like it's going to really play into his hands. And even like the 9th hole, have you seen the how that's laid out?
Yeah.
It's like pure. If you hit it like 275 yards, too far. It runs down like a bank into fairway, into rough. And if it's 5 yards further, it just runs into water. So I feel like you're going to be, yeah, you have to like be striping off the tee this week. So he did last week. I don't see why not. He can do it again.
Yeah, I honestly think he can win it. And I hope he does because I just love him. He is the most watchable player in the world. He's angry. Yeah. He hates people. He speaks his mind. You know, you wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of McIlroy.
No.
But yeah, his golf game is doing the talking in the minute. And I love just how much effort and everything he's putting into keeping the PGA Tour together and being the leader of that as well. So putting his nuts on the line as the guys who have gone to play the Live Golf events have. He's back. He's doubling down and backing himself in to be the real leader of the PGA Tour. There's probably some cash involved there too. So yes. good on you, Ross.
I reckon if he's leading after round one, he'll win it. I reckon he's running off that much emotion and like drive and just knowing that he's won last week. I reckon he'll, like, if he has a good first round, I don't see him giving it away.
Well, let's hope so for just everyone out there. And here's another one for you, Matty.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks Koepka has lost to 4 golfers total in his last 4 US Opens. So that means he's beaten or tied 616 of 620 competitors. So that's 99.4% of the people who have teed it up in the last 4 US Opens. Brooks Koepka's beaten them.
That's
a stat.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on Brooks? I reckon he's sneaky good, Brooks. He's just been married, you know, he's got all that out. He's had a big piss up. He's good. He's got
that away system.
Yeah. No, he's rock solid. Brooksy, I really love Brooks Koepka. I like how brash he is and just doesn't care.
I just love how just arrogant he just walks around knowing that he can like just turn up in majors.
Yeah, he's like, whatever.
Not many players can just play average golf for PGA Tour events and go, oh, yeah, it's a major. I'll just beat. That stat you just said was unreal.
It's crazy.
So he's lost to Bryson.
Yeah, so the four players he's lost to is John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Gary Woodland, who won at Pebble Beach, and Louis Oosthuizen, who finished second to John Rahm last year. So pretty impressive from Brooks. I see him going a long way. You know, as you said, Matty, turns up at majors and, you know, makes money for fun, that man. So,
yeah.
I hope Brooksy goes well. Golf's better when Brooks Koepka is going good.
Oh, he gets the crowds there. And I feel like if you've got good history in this event, I feel like you're always up there in the leaderboards.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be a huge, huge weekend of golf. And, you know, there's 7 Aussies teeing it up, as I mentioned just before, Matty. And the first one and the big draw card is the number 3 in the world and our best player. And possibly the best short game player in the world, Cam Smith. So, as I just mentioned, best short game player in the world, best putter in the world. The stats say that.
They don't lie.
They can, but they don't. like, you know, Cam's a live chance. What are your takes?
Well, the Memorial Tournament and even at in the Canada Open.
Yeah.
His short game. Some of the shots he hit around the greens, you just like watching it. It's just like outrageous. He's like touch around the greens.
Yeah.
I feel like he'll be up there. I don't think he'll win it, but because I feel like at the Memorial, I reckon will play pretty similar to this.
Okay.
Memorial's like it's long, it's tight, the rough's pretty thick. And I feel like if he gets wayward his driver, which he has been lately, I think he might struggle, but I think his short game will be able to save him.
Yeah, if anyone can get up and down off these tiny little greens, it's Cam Smith.
Yeah.
And the next fella is the big fella who has just as good a short game, or not just as good, but pretty good short game, is Mark Leishman.
Yeah.
You know, the Leish is probably used to undulating courses coming from Warrnambool and Port Fairy. Those courses are super undulating, and those greens are really hard to hit as well down there. So growing up, I reckon this sets up really well for Leish to have probably a really good week. I'm a big fan of Leish's, and I think he's a big chance.
He's paying a bit of money as well.
Yeah, no, there's a bit of value in there for Leish, but we'll save that for a bit later, Matty. Don't want to give the secrets away just yet. And the great man, the friend of the podcast, Herbie, Lucas Herbert, drives it like an absolute Rolls Royce. I've said it time and time again. he's very similar to Rory McIlroy in his ball striking. That if you can get the putter going, it's his. If you can get that putter going, it is so important for him to get that going, and then he could go really well. He is a ball striker. Like he will win a major one day. Lucas Herbert, 26 years old, you know, super player. First year on the PGA Tour, he's played a lot of majors, but I think Herbie's a good show, and you know he always competes really hard. He's confident. He has that swagger, which I love.
He's a competitor. He's a competitor.
Yeah, he's a competitor. Making up words now, mate.
English.
Yeah. So Herbie, big chance, and mate, Min Ji Lee's little brother. She's no longer Min Woo's sister.
No.
Min Ji Lee's little brother, Min Woo. You know, Minwoo's really struggled this year, first year on the PGA Tour as well. He's cracked the top 50 in the world. He's obviously going to be around on the tour for the next 20, 30 years. Unless he goes to live golf. But, you know, you know, he's got the game to – we can say it about everyone, but they've all got the game to win. They wouldn't be in this position if they didn't.
Mm.
But Minwoo is a special golfer. He's won some events as a young fella that, you know, you shouldn't be winning at his age. He's 23. No. Last year he won the Scottish Open. The year before that he won the Vic Open when it was European Tour sanctioned. Like, he can perform under the pump. I reckon you've seen him play before, Matty. Geez, he hits the ball.
Oh, I was watching him on the range at Royal Freo when we were at WA Open. And
yeah,
he's just easy. Like, he makes it look so easy.
Yeah,
but I feel like with him and Herbie, like, they won over... Minwoo won the Scottish Open and Herbie won...
He won the Irish Open last year.
Yeah, he won the Irish. And I feel like the wind gets up and the rough's thick over there. I feel like it'll play pretty similar to the Irish and Scottish Opens.
Yeah.
I actually really think they're a genuine sniff, and they both know what hard greens are like because they're from Australia, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon they'll make the cut like they did at PGA.
Yeah, and there's a couple of
Minwoo missed, but he was up there. I think he missed it by one.
There's a couple of other Aussies playing. So there's a guy who we've always forget to mention on this podcast, who's one of Australia's greatest ever golfers, and that's Adam Scott. Herd's got interviewed earlier in the week. He says his game's in the best order it's been in the last 24 months.
Wow.
So that's really promising to hear from the horse's mouth that he's confident. And Jed Morgan, obviously young fella that you probably know quite well from over here in Australia. He's the Australian Tour Order of Merit winner for the last season. He played in the live event on the weekend, just gone. He's got, by winning the Order of Merit over here in Australia, he got entry into the US Open. It's one of the perks of, you know, playing well over here. So, you know, Jed, it's going to be huge for him. It's his first major championship that he's being a part of. I think it's just going to be a really good learning experience for the young fella from Queensland.
It will be.
Yeah, and I hope he goes really well and makes the cut. Like, I think making a cut really early in your life can set you up to really succeed. Sort of like Minwoo did at the Masters with the record, nine hole record through the front. Yeah, insane. And this fella here, Todd Sinnott, so he played qualifying and got in. By winning on the Japanese tour, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, and Todd's from Melbourne. He's 30 years old. He's been around for a long, long time. He's actually good mates with Ben. There's actually a funny story I'd like to share about Todd Sinnott, and it's about from Hamish and Andy. So everyone knows Hamish and Andy. They have a podcast, and there was a podcast part that I listened to a couple of weeks ago, and they spoke. They were ringing up managers of golfers because Andy Lee is a mad golfer. And it was for a pro golfer to say happy birthday to Andy. And they rang this manager of golfers and the manager goes, I can get you one of two, Ben Eccles or Todd Sinnott. And Hamish said, oh, get me Todd Sinnott. Of course he did. Duh, smart. And then Todd rang and left. Andy didn't answer, but they left a voice message for Andy. Happy birthday, Andy. So there you go. That's my Todd Sinnott story.
Sorry, Benny.
Yeah, no. No, sorry, Benny. You're done, mate. But yeah, Toddy Sinnott, obviously.
He hits it miles.
He hits it a mile. He's won on the Australian Tour this year, and he's obviously got qualified into this event. So all the very best to all the Aussies who are playing over there. We watch you all eagerly and hope you all go well. They're all avid listeners of the podcast as well, especially Smithy.
He's just listening to, what are you going to say about it next thing?
Now, guys, it's US Open week and we are bloody excited here at the Tee It Up Golf Podcast. So make sure you jump over to our Instagram page and enter the draw to win a ProPath putting mirror from Back to Basics Golf. We've teamed up with the guys from Back to Basics to bring you guys a competition where it will help you hole more putts, which will make you a better golfer and a much happier person, because Benny and I both use ProPath putting mirrors and we are elite putters. Well, Benny is, I'm not, but we'll go with that. So make sure you jump over there, hit follow on our page, hit follow on their page and tag a mate in the post. Let's get back over to the podcast. Righto, Matty. Now's the time in the podcast where all the listeners pull out your pens, pull out your bloody markers, pull out those black books, because we're going to give some serious heat here. We're going to make everyone rich or very, very poor. Yeah. One of the two, but hopefully make everyone rich. So we've got the back sack and the crack. So the first one up for you, Matty Howe, is back a roughie.
I am going to back Brooks Koepka.
Well, I am too. So I did have that written down before we'd even colluded. We have not colluded on that.
No.
Brooks Koepka, like I said before, he's beaten 99.4 of the past players played in the US Open. So that's like 640-odd players who have teed up in the US Open have been beaten by Brooks Koepka in the last four US Opens. We mentioned earlier in the podcast the four players who he has not beaten. The four players Brooks obviously hasn't beaten are Gary Woodland, 2018, Bryson DeChambeau, and Louis Oosthuizen, and obviously John Rahm from last year. So it was actually Gary Woodland from 2019. I know someone will write me a message, you got it wrong, Q. So yeah, 2019. So Brooks, live chance, gets up for the majors, superstar golfer. Have a crack at a favorite, Matty. Who have you got written down?
I've got two.
Pick one.
I'm gonna say Tony Finau.
Big fella. I love that man.
Yeah. He's done well. He's come second last week.
Yeah.
He's getting his game there. It's a long course. I just feel like it's the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, and I'd love to see Tony win. But I'm going for the young fella from the UK, Matt Fitzpatrick. Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, it's a real approach game players course. So Matty Fitzpatrick's one of the best short game players in the world. He's missed a lot of cuts this year, but he has made 10 cuts. And from those 10 cuts, he's made 10 top fives. So if he does make the weekend, he normally finishes really well. So it's one for you guys to put in your black book. You can have one of those top five finishes, sort of put him in a multi or something like that, or having to win. I'm going to have him to win. So having to win.
You're just rhyming. These stats are just coming out. Yeah. It's from everywhere.
But I'm not a rapper. Anyway, now we're going to sack a favorite.
Yep, John Rahm.
See you, Rambo. Why not?
I just don't think his game's there. He was flying last year coming into the event. I just don't think there's any form there.
Fair play. I'm sacking Colin Morikawa. Now, like I said before, I think you've got to be really, really creative around these greens. You've got to be able to get up and down and make pars. You know, good shots sometimes won't get rewarded around this course. So, I just don't think Colin has the tricks in the bag just yet. I think he's still got plenty of time to develop them to get to that level, but there's plenty more majors left in his back pocket throughout his career, but just not this weekend for me. So, Matty, that wraps it. That wraps the whole episode of the podcast. It's a tap-in. It's a preview of the US Open, US PGA. Well done, Q. Absolutely flying tonight. But, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back on. I like these one-on-ones. There's a lot of vibe going here. We're up and about. Yeah. So,
we're up and about.
Yeah, those sunnies.
Just like North on the weekend.
Yeah, go Kangas. So we won't talk about footy because footy is irrelevant on this golf podcast, mate. ganga. Let's go. But Matty Howe, thanks for joining us on the podcast. We'll see you at the British Open preview in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Until next week, everyone out there listening, swing hard and...
drive safe.
Stay safe. Cheers.